This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another special guest episode on the Authentic Persuasion Show. This time I have Mrs. Jennifer Hatcher on the episode with me in this conversation. I know this is going to be a blast. So Jennifer, as you will find out and as you will experience, as I have in several other conversations I've had with her, she is an energetic visionary with over 20 years of building people and businesses. Her passion for serving others has resulted in her founding, creating, and leading Simple Choice Lending, and her podcast, which I love the name, is called Generator Stories, for Jen. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things in here, talk about what her company does, but really why that's important, especially from a sales and leadership perspective, what she's learned over these 20 years of building people and businesses. Welcome, Jen, to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here.
So we've talked several times. I know this is going to be a blast. I think one of the biggest things is when it comes to what you've done from building your company and who you're serving, and then from a sales perspective, there's a lot of different things we can talk about. First, let's cover where, you know, and not from a promotional standpoint for you, but where is the business need and the customer need for what you're offering? So that'll help set the stage for what we'll talk about from there.
100%. I appreciate that. I will do my best to not promote. But sincerely, there is a critical business need today for a company like Simple Choice that can help dealers in home improvement, providers in the medical realm, and every other space on offering payment options to their customers. Because as consumers, we are used to paying things in a monthly payment, right? When you go to get a car, they don't say, hey, your car's going to cost this, and with the goodies you want, it's going to cost this. Because you'd have sticker shock and run out the door, right? Yeah. Even the advertising is, you know, get this for as low as X dollars per month. So there is a critical need to help consumers get what they want at something that fits into a monthly budget, and or, you know, keeping their money in savings where they want to keep it and using the bank's money for X amount of time. From a business perspective, it's critical to provide these options, because otherwise you're really not helping. I'm going to use homeowners a lot because my business focuses on home improvement. You're really not helping the homeowners get that project they really want or need if you're not helping them figure out a way they're going to pay for it. And in the home improvement space, there's a lot of what I call head trash on what financing is and how it can be used. And so my business focuses really on setting up successful financing programs with our partners and training the staff on how to compliantly offer it and help homeowners with financing. That was a long answer. Sorry.
No, that was perfect. There's a lot to it. And I think one of the biggest things is I hear you talk about that. I'm thinking from a sales leadership perspective, if I'm that home improvement company or whatever other markets that you serve, where there's that balance with salespeople of, you know, not having any barriers get in the way from doing a sale. And, you know, people say, I don't have the money, but it's usually a value thing. And then also, where is it a money thing where somebody wants to do it and they don't have access to the funds to do it responsibly in the time frame they want versus needing all of the money up front? And I think there's always that balance. Now, one of the things you mentioned was interesting. You kind of slipped it in there as you were kind of going through it. And I think it's important, especially for this show, because we're talking about sales and sales leadership, and that's what I focus on. But you said something about doing it compliantly. What do you mean when you kind of like slip that in there? it's kind of a byproduct, but you and I both know that's not the case.
100%. So my history for 8 years, I was with a bank. And so my brain, even though my business is not the bank, I still process a lot of things in bankese. And one of the things that I always work with our partners on, and I might use partner and client and dealer all interchangeably, just putting that out there as a disclaimer, But one of the things that we work with our partners on a lot, and I always have, is offering the same options to every single, in the case of home improvement, homeowner every time. So if you're saying when you walk in the appointment, hey, we accept cash, check, you know, charge, and we have flexible payment options, that's putting it out there for everybody every time. So that compliance part really comes to fair lending and making sure that you're giving the same options to everybody, regardless of what you perceive their needs may be. So that's my shortest version of compliant is every customer, every time, make sure you're giving the same options.
How do you support those businesses that you're working with? Because for people who are listening to this, you're B2B2C. So
Correct. You're
working with a company who's then working with a consumer, a homeowner
Correct.
In that scenario with home improvement. So you're working through that company. So they have to do what they have to do so that you can help that consumer with what they need, which then obviously adds a layer of complexity and risk with that compliance, because you want to make sure it's being done right. That company needs to also be on board. How do you support them on doing it? Or what can companies do, whether it's your programs or not, just in
Sure.
general, when they're looking at how do they keep a salesperson compliant, especially when it's not on the phone and it's not being monitored, to making sure they do what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of goes back to the unique approach that my company takes, in that we really work hand in hand and we have a partnership with the dealers we're working with. And so that might include things like getting on their sales calls and helping them with verbiage of how do we talk about financing to homeowners? How are you presenting it? Things like that. For whether an organization is working with us or not, I would say the very simplest thing one can do from a compliance perspective is offer the same options to every homeowner every time. That's the safest and easiest thing that one could do to hit that compliance note. You know, the other thing is this would be a whole podcast on itself, so I don't want to deep dive into it, but there is a wide range of fee structure in the home improvement world and where fees may fall. And so one of the things that we always coach our sales teams on and our partners on is that you're never passing fees on to the homeowner. Just from a complete transparency perspective, the price of the job is the price of the job. Whatever payment option they choose, don't pass that on. Like, just, it's the price. And so, again, I'm trying to stay real high level with that because that could be a whole podcast within itself. But every customer, every time, and then, you know, making sure your back end and your margins are built up as such that regardless of what payment option they choose, you're not passing on fees.
Okay.
Yep, so I keep adding on more. I got it. I know.
No, you're good. One of the things I know that's challenging enough is managing, coaching, training, and holding your own salespeople accountable and
yep.
or compliant. How do you do that in the scenario where they're not your salespeople? We're going to talk about your internal ones at some point, but
right.
you know, this whole B2C model. What have you found works? Like what level of interaction do you have? What kind of training are you providing? What helps them? And especially I'm thinking, again, not everyone listening or watching has your kind of business model, but
right.
what could they use for training reps or their own reps as well?
Yeah, like I said, our model is that we have a tight relationship. And so in many cases, we are on sales calls once a month, just answering questions, giving refreshers, things like that. In terms of the controllership, and regarding the training, I'd love to point you to a specific training, but it is proprietary to Simple Choice, what we're giving and what specific verbiage we're coaching on, things like that. So I can't direct you anywhere, unfortunately, for an external resource. from the controllership perspective, it really comes down to having that good relationship and having the trust, and giving the sales managers and owners the autonomy of, hey, this is your program. We've given you all the tools. It's up to you to implement it correctly, because I can't big brother thousands of salespeople across the U.S.
Yeah. So I think what's fascinating and fun when I think about your business model is that there's the challenges that come with it, but then also you're dealing with and or seeing a lot of different businesses out there.
Very much.
It's like you have insight into a lot of business, and you also probably see a lot of companies that maybe don't adopt your option or resist it. What would you say companies are doing well out there from a sales operation and leadership perspective as you look across, you know, kind of the entire landscape you get to see?
Yeah, I'd say one of the things that companies are doing well, which, and this is a varying degree, right? It, like many factors, it has its ups and downs. Kind of like a stock ticker, right? But I'd say one of the things that is standing out to me right now is communication seems to be really on point. And I can't say that for every organization across the U.S., but with the partners we have, we are having a lot of really open communication and strong dialogue on, this is what we're seeing pluses with. This is what we're struggling with right now. How do we overcome that barrier? Things like that. So communication, both with us as a partner and with their peers, and kind of leveraging that best practice, or some even call it like a mindset type group. I'm seeing strong communication, and I think that's really important, because it, again, going back to the home improvement industry, we are seeing a shift where we've had oodles and oodles of leads for the last 2+ years because people were stuck in their homes and they want to remodel because they're sick of looking at that bathroom. And now that the world's opening up, you know, gas prices are a little higher than people might prefer. You know, there's a lot of other factors coming into play. So the overabundance of marketing leads coming in might not be as strong as they were. So let's get together and what are you doing that's working? What's not working? Things like that. Communication is one of the things I'm seeing really strong right now, and I find that really encouraging.
How often do you encounter a company that you're dealing with that says, no, we're not interested, we don't want to offer anything different, we just want to keep doing what we've always done?
All the time, every day.
And the reason why I ask that, like, I'm thinking about a lot of people out there, anybody in a sales role, one of the common rejections is people, they don't understand it, they don't want to do anything different, they're afraid of change.
Right.
Especially if you're selling B2B. That organization needs to make a change, and it's going to affect everybody, and they might be afraid that their people, especially salespeople, won't change and won't adopt and won't do it because of other failed things in the past. Mm-hmm. So how do you address that? Like, what have you found as the key for getting that person, business owner, business leader, to realize, wait a second, maybe we do need to adapt?
Yeah, for us, a lot of the conversations we have come from the dealer perspective versus the financing institution perspective. Because the fact is, a financing institution may serve dealers very well, but they're still not a dealer. And so one of the things that Simple Choice is able to do with the subject matter expertise and the background of the Simple Choice, you know, foundation is we're able to speak to them from a dealer to dealer level. And so, you know, one of the things that's really easy to call out is kind of that loss aversion, right? They're like, oh, we're closing 30-40%. We'll be fine, da, da, da. Well, those are solid numbers, but what if you could be closing 60% or 70%? You know, what does that mean to the business on a weekly or monthly or annual basis? What does it mean to I'm going to break it down for just 1 second to an individual sales rep, consultant, designer. Again, words I use interchangeably. But if you take a sales rep who's commission-based, they're running 10 leads a week, they are closing 3 to 4 on an average, and we can help them close 6 to 7 on an average, what does that money mean to their family in that month and in that year? You know, what vacations can they take their kids on? I always joke that, you know, my kids are hungry. And so we always need to close more because my kids eat better when we close more sales. But it's that of, yes, what you're doing is working, but if you want to grow the way you want to grow, this won't work forever. And the reality is the world is changing, and you either are proactive in changing with it or you're scrambling to catch up, and nobody wants to be the scrambling to catch up person. And so, you know, by helping them figure out ways that they can easily fit it into their process, and that's one of the biggest keys of, I mean, the name itself, simple choice, easy, easy, easy. If it can't easily fit into their sales process, then nothing will. But we help them through that so they don't have to figure it all out, because so many times owners and sales managers are wearing 15 hats every day. Introducing something new is scary and definitely not on their mindset.
Yeah. And if it was on their mind and they were eager, they probably would have reached out to you and they would be an easy enrollment because they've made it a priority. For everyone else, it's going to take some effort. And I think there's a lot of people in sales that are just looking for that easy opportunity and a lot of times aren't empathetic to what their potential customers are going through behind the scenes, right? Where everything is on fire or feels like it's on fire. And now you're trying to get them to do one more thing that they don't even want to deal with because they have too much they're dealing with right now.
I was kind of going with the loss thing of if you're not leveraging options like what my company offers, there's a lot more chasing on the back end. It's a lot more stressful for your product team who's ordering things, for customer service who has to call that customer 16 times to try to get that next payment. And so it's helping them understand, here's the places where, yeah, you're doing okay, but you're actually losing time and money by not doing this. And it can really change an entire business.
Makes sense. And the key is to do that in a way and have the conversation in a way with the right person who's willing to be open to it, where you're helping them be more proactive versus reactive.
Pilots are very successful because it's dipping our toe in, right? We feel safe with a pilot. Okay, we'll try it. And then we feel the good, warm, fuzzy. Yes, of course we want to do this.
At first, I thought you were talking about pilots as an analogy regarding loss and risk aversion. I was like, where is she going with that? I don't know.
With that either. But where I live, EAA is going on right now.
with new clients. No, I love it. It's just funny where my brain was going with that. So now let's shift a little bit to your internal. What's one of the biggest challenges that you have, or you know, what do they look like these days with scaling and growing your own internal sales team? Because I know one of the things that happens is when you're the founder, when you're the creator of this, when it's your baby, it's easy for you to sell, to enroll, to get people interested and excited, to go to a trade show and do what you do. It's another one to grow a team that also does it.
Yes. So I would imagine many people can identify with this, and exactly what you said. It's easy to be passionate and excited about it when it's your baby and it's something you eat, live, and breathe every day. One of the challenges that we're overcoming in my own organization is getting everybody on the same process. And so a lot of times, you know, the companies that I'm helping, I can identify and empathize with the processes thing because, you know, salesperson A might enter stuff into a CRM right away and they're on top of it and they're awesome and like, yay, we have all the information where we need it. And then salesperson B, notice I'm not using names, is fly by the seat of their pants. And they're like, yeah, I talked to 10 people today. I had great conversations. So-and-so emailed. And I'm like, great. Where can we look that up? And when are you following up with all of them? Oh, yeah, it's, you know, like, it's on this piece of paper right here. Like, okay, let's work on that. I think that's because I love the passion and the energy and those great conversations, and that person works well in a state of chaos. That's kind of their comfort zone, but chaos doesn't work for the whole organization. And so one of the goals for my organization is that we should all be able to look at any one of our partners and know where they are at any time. So, you know, if my chaos salesperson B is out on vacation for a week, even though I know they'll answer their phone, I should be able to have a decent idea of what's going on so I don't have to bother them on vacation. And so the standardization, you know, the SOPs of this is what we do with each customer and this is how we enter the information and, you know, here's the timeline of when we want to follow up with everybody and really establishing everything from zero is something that, again, I know my partners empathize with, and I would imagine several of your listeners do too.
So nobody's listening right now. You can tell me the inside stuff. No, really. So when I hear that, obviously anybody who's led any sales team, work on a sales team, or you've been a salesperson, it's either you that's salesperson,
right,
or salesperson B is sitting next to you and you just literally don't understand their Tasmanian devil whirlwind chaos.
Herding cats.
Herding cats. So.
And I say that with love. I say that with love.
Yes. lovingly.
Lovingly herding cats.
But what do you, how do you do that? I mean, and or where is that balance between needing a system, needing a process, needing an SOP, needing to have that so that you can scale and grow?
Yes.
So it's not just, you know, hoping, but you can actually predict and project and provide service versus that person's just natural tendency and what they want to do and don't want to do.
Right. So we have bi-weekly, and by bi-weekly, I mean two times a week, we have team meetings where we all collaborate. It's on the calendar. It's a non-negotiable. We don't book over it. You know, again, if somebody's on vacation, you know, salesperson C is on vacation, so they get a pass this week, but we're still going to send out a summary of what we touched on. So when they come back next week, they're not like, what did I miss? So we connect twice a week in meetings right now. And one of the things that I had just introduced to my team earlier this week, I had started working with at another organization, and I'm seeing the value in my organization. We're going to start implementing the EOS system. Are you familiar with EOS? It's the Entrepreneur Operating System. And so it's two books that I know of, and then there's various teachers and workshops that you can leverage throughout the country with it. But in those two books, it really lays out a foundation of how you can set up your business so that you are touching on the critical things every week. Things that seem like fires but aren't really critical have their own place, and that you're keeping everybody in line. And so from a scalability perspective, that's something I want us all to get on the train with and implement in my organization so that we can scale and we are spending time in the right places. Because it's very easy to boil the ocean. And you can't boil the ocean all at once. You got to do it a cup at a time. So let's get our cups in order.
So the other end of the spectrum is that person who's really good at the CRM. They're really good at entering the data. They're really good at those kind of task admin operational steps. Sometimes because that's their way of procrastinating from actually making phone calls and actually doing outreach, right? So there's that other end, because a lot of owners are like, oh, I just wish people would just do all the stuff in the CRM so I can track it. It's like, be careful. So you go too far the other way and everyone's too compliant.
Right.
They're either doing it on purpose to avoid work, or you've made it so that there's so many tasks they can't actually go out there and plant seeds and farm. So what do you do for that? Like, where's that balance? What are the key metrics for you? What have you found from an activity standpoint, you know, you're holding your team accountable to?
Yeah. So from an activity standpoint and holding the team accountable at this time, obviously I've identified some of the ways that the different team members flourish, right? And so I've asked, in this example, salesperson A and salesperson B to collaborate a little bit more, in that if there's a client or a prospective partner that, you know, salesperson A is just kind of struggling with, salesperson B loves those and gets really excited about it. So let's work together on those, and let's almost flip it where, like, hey, you give me these 10 calls, I'll log them for you, and here's, you know, five prospects that I've been struggling with. Can you call them and see if you can get any traction? Because I'm not getting anywhere. And so it's the way I'm doing it internally. I can't say it's right or wrong, but I'm playing on both of their strengths at this time to try to balance them out, because chaos will call everybody and anybody on the planet gets excited about it. Like you said, my neat and organized, sometimes that's such a comfort zone. It's almost like that safety blanket where it's barricading them from doing all the activity that's needed. So I've tried to play into both of those a little bit so that we're still hitting all the KPIs we want to, as a team, because this is a team effort. This isn't a one person effort. And working towards getting everybody more in their comfort zone and working through those barriers. Does that make sense?
So it does. No, okay. It does. And I think that's important, because you got to understand their strengths, their weaknesses. You got to manage, coach, lead everybody different to the game they're playing, but also be mindful of how they're going to get themselves stuck or in trouble or not productive, because that salesperson B that's out there just will call everybody on the planet might not do any follow-up. So they'll have a great conversation and tell you how amazing it is, and then they won't call anyone back or follow through on agreements or contracts and things like that. So they're great at starting, but not necessarily finishing.
But not right. And so I
like that approach that you have, kind of like flip-flopping, combining, playing off of each other's strengths, kind of supporting. And when you have a team environment where it's not like, here's my pipeline, here's yours, it's me versus you, then it's one team, one fight, right?
Yes. And I mean, as we continue to grow, I may need to think through that process a little bit more, right? Because that's the key of being flexible and adaptable and being able to change as you need to help your organization. But in this early state and the size of our team, I'm able to do that. And I hope I can keep that piece while getting some more of those systems and processes in place. And then, I really haven't mentioned salesperson C very much. Salesperson C is very green and very new to both sales and home improvement. Eager, wants to learn, but it almost has that barrier of like, whoa, this is so much at once. And so I'm making sure that salesperson C gets time with both chaos and orderly, so that they're taking best practices from both.
Hopefully. Well, and that leads into another thing for sales managers and leaders to always be aware of, which is when you have a new salesperson, you put them in the team, you're going to have them shadow, you're going to have them ride along, you're going to have them listening on calls, you're going to have them sit next to somebody and learn, like if you're in an office, and being aware of who you're putting them next to and the fact that you can't control what they're going to say and do and what that person is teaching to your new rep versus what you may want them teaching as far as like the best habits and practices.
Right. So C also gets time with me.
Good. Make sure that's the most important one they know to listen to. So one of the things you mentioned earlier was kind of how the economy is changing. You didn't mention economy part, but obviously that's a big deal. Gas prices, inflation, all that kind of stuff that's going on right now as we record this late July 2022. Mm-hmm. And how things were for a couple of years during the pandemic, where theoretically it was rough for people, but in home improvement space and with interest rates where they were and all kinds of things going on, people
and stimulus checks. Yep.
Stimulus checks and all of that, where and people not spending on gas because they're not driving. It actually was a boom for home improvement, for solar, for a lot of these industries
yes.
we're talking about, where it was easy. Like, you know, people who are like, yeah, I'm doing really well. It's like, yeah, but it's not hard because everyone is eager for help, right? Just like mortgages and refinances. Like,
right.
Of course, the interest rate's 3%. Come on. You don't get a gold star for that. Like,
right.
it's not you. It's the market. But that's changing now.
Right. right.
And so what are you doing to help your team, not your team's team and you know, the customer?
My side, internal team.
But how, yeah, your internal team. How do you prepare them for that? Or how do you help shift them and their strategies where it might be a different, a harder conversation, or it might be easier because now maybe more of your potential clients are opening to listening because, you know, it's not going to be just so easy to pick up sales anymore.
It's a really interesting dichotomy right now of exactly what you're talking about. We still have the type of dealer who's like, yeah, I've got something in place. I'm open to hearing more, but I'm likely not going to change. Okay, that's fine. And then because interest rates are increasing, we just had another increase yesterday, right? Or the day before. Ironically, the interest rate norm, where it's sitting right now and the baseline is relatively close to where a lot of home improvement loans are sitting. And so homeowners who, and even business owners who were like, well, homeowners are never going to pay 7.99% on a home improvement loan. Well, now the, you know, your lowest mortgage is sitting at 5.15. So 8% that has no prepayment penalties on a home improvement loan doesn't sound so scary anymore. So, so it is a really yeah. interesting, time and shift of people who may not have been willing to listen before are now willing to listen because the rates are more even. And those who were already doing something or dabbling or thinking about it are now like, oh, wow, yeah, homeowners are going to want more payment options. Yes, let's talk. I haven't had anybody, knock on wood, yet say, well, interest rates are increasing, so homeowners aren't going to want to do anything. We're going into a recession, so I'm going to stop marketing and stop offering options. Like that hasn't happened. If it does happen, that's probably not the right business owner to work with my organization, but I haven't heard it yet.
Makes sense. And fascinating to think about that as the economy shifts, what that does, because some parts it might actually make it easier for someone like yourself, might make it more difficult for your clients, but then this is another tool in their toolbox. You know, and then where are those other partnerships and other companies out there in the space that could also help your clients and your clients' clients? You know, and what do those team events look like? And this is a great place for us to stop this part one. Sure. I have several things that I'm just itching to ask, which I'm going to have to save those to part two. We can keep this kind of in the relative time that I like to do. I want to talk about you being a recovering workaholic, which I disagree. So we can debate that because I don't think that's actually true. I want to talk about you trying not to be a hypocrite with yourself and your team and a couple other things that I know that we'll get to, which I'm excited.
I look forward
to part
it.
One. I don't. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I know you're looking forward to it. We'll see what happens. So for people who are tuning in, watching this, listening to this on the podcast, and they want to find out more, I know that the website is simplechoicelending.com.
Correct.
And it will be in the show notes as well. And then also they can find you on LinkedIn, which is how we connected. And you do a lot of great stuff on there. It's fun to like take those kind of relationships into the podcast realm and then even into real life, going to trade shows and interacting with people. But they can people can find you on LinkedIn. Jennifer Hatcher, it's actually /Jen, J-E-N-N Hatcher. They can find you on there. And then also your podcast, like I mentioned earlier, is Generator Stories with a J, which is awesome and fun.